Cocktail as we talk about life and death.
Everything in between.
And beyond.
Join us for a little boozy banter with friends.
Dog.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm doing good. So, we had an episode out where you talked about some of the
curses
of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And one of them was the story about Nicolas Cage and his weird mausoleum and how close or how far it was from Marie Laveau's tomb. Mm-hmm. And on Spotify, we had a comment from Cam that she was going to be visiting New Orleans at the end of April and was going to check it out to see how far it was. So I tried to comment back that we cannot wait to hear what she finds out.
Yeah.
But I am, you know, technologically illiterate, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And I could not figure out how to do it. So we're doing it here. Please, Cam, let us know what you find out, how far it is. Is it like they say, like within a few feet from, because that's just creepy as hell. Like, who gets away with that?
Exactly. Also, depending on Cam, when at the end of April you're going to be in New Orleans. Coincidentally enough, I'll be in New Orleans at the end of April. Actually, May 1st, I'll be there all day. So if you're still in the area.
Yeah. Shoot us a message on Instagram. Between the two of you, we should get to the bottom of the Nicolas Cage tomb situation, I think.
Yes. I'm excited to see what she has to say.
Yeah,
thank
me
you,
too.
Cam, for,
thank you. Sorry we couldn't reply. We suck. I don't know how to do that. It's like, do this to do this. And I'm like, but it's not working. So I don't know. I suck. Sorry.
Thank you for leaving us a message, though.
Yeah, we appreciate it. In public. Normally, people message us in private because they don't want anybody to know. That's my theory.
I like your boldness, girl.
So, you know I like my Daily Mail.
So you have a Daily Mailer?
I do. And it's really kind of weird and creepy. I almost sent it to you to do as a story because it was so odd. It kind of has to do with like a cult and paranormal, like together.
Okay.
So these paranormal investigators were in this building in Wyoming, and they were way out west paranormal.
Okay.
And it was in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And the place they were investigating had been used by the Knights of Pythias, a secret club that was 150 years old. It still exists.
Holy biscuit.
It's a secret club.
A secret.
Secret. 150 years. So it said that in the 90s, the skeleton of a 15-year-old girl was found in a secret trap door in the building. The building itself was constructed in 1884, and it had been the home to the Knights of Pythias, a secret fraternal society that had been active since the 1870s. And although membership it has declined, it still exists today with about 50 members. In the 90s, a caretaker was cleaning the stage area of the meeting space, and he found that a piece of flooring had come loose. So he got down on his knees to investigate, you know, what was going on, assuming that maybe the floor just needed repair or something like that. But when he pried up the flooring, there was a trap door that went underneath the stage. So when he went down there and started to investigate, he found an old dust-covered coffin.
Oh, shit.
So he called like the the knights of Pythias members and had them open the coffin like he wasn't going to do it. And inside they found a skeleton, which forensics say belonged to a 15-year-old girl. She had been dead for 50 years under that stage. So nobody knows who the girl was, not even the most senior member of this club or whatever they're calling it. A look into missing person reports from the time didn't show anything unusual. There was nobody reported missing. So that is the reason that all these paranormal teams like to go and investigate this building. So in 2010, Paranormal Investigations Team Wyoming surveyed the building and claimed to have taken a picture of a shadowy apparition lurking at the top of the stairs. And then this past March, Way Out West Paranormal also went to the haunted building and they took a video of the basement area and, you know, different parts of the building. And they claim to have caught some stuff too. The coffin that the girl was found in is still in the basement of the building. They never removed it. So I don't know. It's just the paranormal part was interesting, you know, hearing about their investigation and all the things that they did and blah, blah, blah. But it was the Knights of Pythias that really got my attention. It says that there were politicians, like the governor of Wyoming was involved with this group as well. I don't know. I feel like that's something I'm going to have to look into. What is this Knights of Pythias?
Is the Knights of
Is it only in Wyoming? Like, is it across? Because they said they still had 50 members. 50 members there? Anyhow, it just caught my attention this morning when I was reading it. I'm like, oh, I got to share this.
I mean, that's cool.
So I think that's one of the things I'm going to look into in the next couple weeks is this Knights of Pythias, because
yes, please.
How in the world they find this body and
nothing, one knows about it.
Nobody knows who it was, but also nothing
Why
happened.
Did they leave the coffin?
Yeah, they just left it in the basement.
I mean, I would think like police would confiscate the coffin
to do some kind of forensic something on it, right?
I mean, I've seen enough forensic files.
Right.
Like, I would expect that.
I would too. But
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a good little daily mailer.
Yeah, I like it when they have some kind of paranormal something in there. So what have you been up to? Anything good?
Still just working.
Yeah.
Flying. Yeah. I'm certified to fly for a whole nother year.
Yay.
Good.
I can't believe this is your third year. That's
going into
crazy.
My third year. I know it's going into my third year.
Yeah.
It is a thing. And I still like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still do. I just wish we made a little more money.
Well, yeah.
It's the only thing. Everything else I like about it is just I think the money sucks.
Of course. Yeah. Well, all the airlines really need to start paying their flight attendants as soon as they step foot in the airport, you know, as soon as they show up for their shift.
I agree. As you know, we have to get there a whole hour. We need to be checked in a whole hour before our flight.
Yeah.
That's not even saying getting to the airport earlier to get through the airport security, to get to the gate, to be there an hour early.
Right. So. And then if there are delays, you just sit there, you know, you're not compensated for them, which is lame.
But I do say, though, I still like it. And sometimes I get to go to cool places that has cool events happening.
Like?
Indiana during the total eclipse.
Oh, fun. It's like going right over there.
It will be in the path of totality.
Wow.
So by the time this episode airs, the eclipse will already have happened. Because, of course, we're recording in advance.
Yeah.
But I will be in Indianapolis on the 8th. and I will see the total eclipse. So that's actually kind of cool. And I wouldn't be in Indiana if it wasn't for my job.
Right. That's super cool.
So that's cool. Yeah. Because of that, I was curious about total eclipse and myths and legends surrounding.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to talk a little about science.
Science.
If you want something different here, there's three different types of solar eclipses.
Okay.
There is the most common is the partial eclipse, where the moon is only partially blocks the sunlight. The second is the annular eclipse, which the moon appears smaller than the sun, leaving a ring of sunlight around the moon's edge, like that bright edge with the moon in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third and most dramatic, which happened on the 8th, is the total solar eclipse. This is when the moon completely blocks you. And it's actually a pretty rare event. And it can only happen when this moon is near the perigee, the point of the moon's orbit closest to the Earth.
Oh, okay.
Whatever that means. So the last total eclipse in the U.S. was in 2017. And there won't be another total eclipse in the U.S. until 2044.
Wow. That's a huge chunk of time.
I know. So it's actually kind of pretty cool that I'll be there.
Yeah.
Working and being able to see this event. The oldest records of an eclipse dates back to around 1200 BCE when scribes in China recorded eclipses on oracle bones made from ox bones and turtle shells.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But it is possible that there's even an older record and a series of spiral-shaped and circular petroglyphs found in Ireland that date back to 3340 BCE.
Wow. Yeah.
So when we were in Ireland, they had all these like little tombs and things that had like the perfect sun angles. Like, so I believe it. I wouldn't doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were in the line of totality, you may experience something called shadow snakes or bands. It's a rare phenomena only seen right before or immediately after totality. It's where thin, wavy lines alternating light and dark can be seen moving or undulating in a parallel on a plain colored surface. So if you look on the internet, it's like they kind of wave and it's kind of weird looking.
Right.
But there's shadows and it only happens during an eclipse. You might also experience a drop in temperature. And animal behavior might be strange. Like crickets could start chirping for when it's dark because they're all fucked up by the eclipse.
Right.
And birds stop flying and singing because they're like, oh shit, what happened to the fucking sun?
Right.
So that's a little about science, just okay. Like a small snippet. So now let's talk about some myths.
Okay.
Many cultures in early times had different reasons to explain an eclipse. The Vikings believed the eclipse occurred when the wolf Skull pursues the sun goddess Sol across the sky and finally catches up with her. If Skull succeeds in swallowing Sol and plunging the world into darkness, it heralds the start of Ragnarok, a battle between the gods and the end of the world. In Vietnam, people believed it was a frog or a toad that eats the moon and the sun during an eclipse. In order to scare away the giant animal and avoid being eaten, people would bang pots and pans together or play drums to get whatever was swallowing the sun or the moon to go away. So if they kind of makes sense, though, because if they believe that, because it only lasts for maybe about 6 minutes.
Right.
So if they banged it and then like all of a sudden
it's daylight again
and they're like, it worked. Woo, the pots and pans.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Some thought that an eclipse was a harbinger of doom or destruction. The ancient Greeks saw a solar eclipse as a sign that the gods were angry at the king. One of the most colorful stories of the origin of a solar eclipse is a story that involves a Hindu demon, Rahu, who disguised himself as a god in order to steal a taste of an elixir that grants immortality. The sun and the moon are aware of Rahu and what he's doing, and so they tell this to the god Vishnu. Vishnu slices off his head before the elixir can slide past his throat. Rahu's head then turns immortal, but his body dies. And so the demon's head continues to move through the sky, chasing the sun and the moon out of hatred. That's pretty colorful.
Yeah, that's super deep.
Yeah.
I like it, the pot banging.
Bangs a pot. In ancient Egypt, the serpent Apep, a spirit of evil and chaos, was said to swallow the sun god Ra, requiring an army of other deities to fight Apep and cut open and release Ra and prevent the world from being plunged into darkness. In ancient China, it's a dragon swallowing the sun. In Korea, it's a pack of dogs. While in South America, it's a leopard.
Wow. So many of them have animals that are swallowing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it's not, but not all explanations of an eclipse are negative. In North America, the Tlingit tribes believed that the sun and moon were having more children.
Oh, they needed some privacy.
They needed some privacy. In German mythology, the sun and the moon are married, and an eclipse is the moment when the couple unites.
Oh.
The Tahitians also have a similar myth, telling of the sun and the moon are lovers who get lost in the moment.
Oh, okay. Aww,
that's so sweet. Well, myths have tried to explain what was happening. We have science.
Uh-huh.
However.
Not as entertaining, for sure.
Science. Not as entertaining. But there are still superstitions associated with the eclipse that still exist. Like, pregnant women should not look at an eclipse.
Well, nobody Ooh. Should look at the eclipse, just saying. Well,
they shouldn't even be outside.
Oh, okay.
Of course, don't look at it. Burn out your fucking retinas. Food shouldn't be made during an eclipse. Or that it's unsafe to go outside. And of course, none of this is true. The only warning is to not look at the sun unless you have the right protection for your eyeballs.
Seriously.
Your retinas will burn out.
But you know, they're talking about it so much because you know some damn fool's going to look up and burn their retinas out.
I don't need protective glasses. That was a little short, sweetie, about the eclipse.
Very
Hopefully
cool.
I'll get good pictures and I'll post them.
Yeah, I want to are we getting any of it in Florida? Are we going to see anything?
From what I've read, everyone will see like a partial eclipse.
I can remember in 2017, it was August, right? Did you say August? It was the path of totality went over Oregon, where my husband's family lives in Oregon, and people were coming like, this is central Oregon. Not many people like come through there unless they're headed there specifically.
Right.
And they had so many out of towners coming to watch. It was busy.
There's like the path of a lot of these states are in the path of totality. And a lot of them have warned like, look, stock up on stuff because there's going to be a huge influx of visitors.
Wow.
So. Yeah, I'm kind of excited, but then I'm kind of like, fuck.
Right?
Ooh. But
dang.
I don't know. When else do you get a chance to see it? So
right, exactly. So take advantage while you can, because what'd you say 2044 is the next?
2044 is the next one in the United States.
Yeah, take advantage of it while you can.
Another 20 years.
Oh, geez.
It's 20 years.
By then, I won't be able to see very well anyways.
Exactly. So I might as well see it when I can see it.
Right. Reading anything good?
I'm
watched
reading,
anything good?
Watching Resident Alien.
Oh, I haven't caught up yet.
The show.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it so much.
Yeah.
It just.
I'm still on season two.
It just cracks me up.
Yeah.
The funniest. I love the subtle humor where you hear something, you're like, what the fuck did they just say?
Right.
It's so funny to me. Love Rise of the Alien right now. And I'm reading the Magical Midlife Alliance.
Is that the last one?
The last one.
Yeah.
I am like 3/4 of the way through that book. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's the one where she's
goes to
meet up with her ex, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I am bouncing between still working on the Littlewoods. I keep getting interrupted.
Yeah.
I just downloaded. I love Simone St. James, and she has a new book out called Murder Road. So I've been working on that. But then that freaking girl on the TikTok that you told me about. The hell?
Yes.
Did she
recommend something that caught your fancy?
Yes. And it's called Feathers So Vicious by Liv Zander. I just started it. It's a little weird. I'm trying to figure out. It's like not set in a real place or like a real time. But so far, really good. Just the plot so far, it's supposed to be a 5-pepper spicy book.
Ooh, spicy.
5 peppers.
5 peppers.
Yeah.
So spicy.
So I am also waffling between that. Like, I'm just having a hard time focusing. So I'm going between all these books depending on my mood.
Right. The Littlewood, it was hard for me in the beginning. Mm-hmm. The beginning of the book was hard, but it did get to a point where I was curious to know what happened next.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what point in that book it was, but it was a little hard in the beginning. I will say
to get it started. Where I'm at.
But once I started to think, okay, I want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
It went by pretty good. And then the second book, I thought the second book was done really well.
Okay, good.
I like the
something
second
to
one.
Look forward to.
Yeah.
So
if you could get past that,
yeah.
The second one, I blew through the second one.
Yeah. Like, okay.
Really.
Well, good. So yeah, but that other book is called Feathers So Vicious.
They're so vicious.
And So again, on my Daily Mail, there was they have all these like you have to buy it things. They had an article, which this one really surprised me because normally it's like makeup, clothing, supplements, a vacuum cleaner. This one was a link to a website that was started by 2 women in Australia during the pandemic. And it's called Girls Get Off. That's their website.
Okay.
GGO is what they go by. And they're on Instagram, but their website is Girls Get Off. And it's exactly what you think. Like they sell things, you know, for women. They're freaking hilarious. Like, if you go on Instagram and look for them, they're very, you know, like they say what they got to say, but they're hilarious the way they do it. So
really?
You'll have to check them out. But yeah, I found it on my Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail.
Daily Mail. But yeah, the company's called Girls Get Off. So.
That's
so, yeah, awesome. Definitely Daily Mail for the win on that one.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyhow,
I think on that we'll leave it as girls off.
Yeah, I think, you know,
that's a perfect,
that's a perfect happy ending.
I'm saying that I love that you're the one doing all this. So until next time.
Cheers.
Hey,
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on your favorite podcast listening platform.
For more about this episode, check out our website at boozybanterwithfriends.com or connect with us on Instagram.
Thanks for listening.
Later.